World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you have to be able to read the tea leaves, folks. You got to be able to read the tea leaves. I don't even know what that means, really. I don't know if you've ever read the leaves, tea leaves. No, I know that sometimes here in Ohio, I often notice the maple leaves in particular, when a storm was moving and they flipped. You could tell a storm was coming. Jesus said that you can sit on your back porch and the storm cloud build and know that it's going to be a cloudy, stormy day. He said, you hypocrites, why is it you can read the signs of the weather, but you can't read the signs of the times? Something's happening here, folks. I'm reading the tea leaves. Planned Parenthood's on the ropes. Planned Parenthood is seriously on the ropes. That gig is up. That genie is not going to go back into that bottle. Most of you saw, hadn't planned to start with this morning, but I'm going to, that they fired their new president. And I told you a year ago, I think she was on the job like 8 months, when Cecile Richards quit. Something's happening here. When Cecile Richards walked away from Planned Parenthood, if you go back and check the tape, or if I don't know, does this tape go to the same place that Rush Limbaugh's program go, the Hall of Fame, whatever he calls that? But if you go back and check the tapes, you're going to find out that I told you on that day something's going on. Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards quit. Then they hire this new girl. Things are getting worse for Planned Parenthood. Trump's pulling funding from Planned Parenthood. Abortion regulations are being restricted. Abortion rights are being pulled back. Look at this. You guys haven't seen this one. Look what stayed at my house last night. This is my little Macy. Macy, wave at him. Say hi. Look, there's a bunch of people. There you go. Macy stayed last night. Heartbeat bills being passed. Abortion laws being challenged all across America. Planned Parenthood is a dead man walking. Now, I don't know if they're a dead man. It's a dead organization walking for sure. And all we have to do is continue to see and read the signs of the time and understand that if we just join the battle, if we just get into the battle, we just fight. As my buddy Chad Estes says, every time we show up and fight, we win. Every time we show up and fight, we win. Planned Parenthood is on the ropes. Why is Planned Parenthood on the ropes? Because God wants abortion to end. Almighty God does. And it's our job, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we're the ones. See, when are we going to stop? When are we going to stop expecting evil men to do good? The folks, that doesn't even work. You know, I ended yesterday's program with that clip from, what's his name? My brain just went, I wasn't going to think about it, then it all popped into my brain. Steve Pachinik, Dr. Steve Pachinik, talking about the evil within the, dare I say it, the Israel government. And how shocking that is to Christians. And I ask Christians this, do we have a Christian government here in America? Is our government Christian? When you looked, I saw this morning, the FBI knew that the dossier of James Comey in 2018 was totally and completely made up. The FBI knew that and went along with it anyway. Now, folks, is that a Christian government? Is that a righteous government? Of course it isn't. It's impossible. So why are we shocked to find out that the evil, I'm going to call it what it is, the evil Israeli Mossad, which is like their CIA. Why would we be surprised that they're evil? Why would we be surprised if Christian America is evil? If our Christian government is evil, is there anybody out there who's going to make the argument that our government's not evil? Anybody want to try to make that argument for me that our government is righteous and just and does everything? Anybody want to make that argument out there? Of course you don't want to. And the American church sits back and thinks the Israeli government is righteous. Folks, can't be righteous apart from Christ. It's impossible. Jesus himself told us there are none righteous. No, not one. None. None righteous. None. Why is Planned Parenthood, why have they been successful? Well, since Planned Parenthood has been successful for basically two reasons. They're demonically inspired, and the church has refused to push back and fight against it. Why has abortion been legal since 1973, January 22nd, 1973? Because evil has continued to push forward the agenda, and the church has hidden the shadows. This great cataclysmic fight that we're supposed to be having of good against evil, right against wrong, Satan against God, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. It's been a fraud, folks. In my lifetime, it's been a fraud. Our side has not fought. Our side has not taken part in this cultural war. Oh, we played a lot. I was watching, my wife said this to me yesterday, and I don't want anybody to take this wrong. Is Pastor Dale in here with us today? Because I know that he's up at Operation Save America in Milwaukee.
I'm here, Coach.
I know he's fighting for all he's worth.
I'm here, sir.
God bless him.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question because my wife asked this last night. And I didn't have an answer, and this is not, please don't take this as criticism, because on another time I'd be standing right there standing with you guys. I was watching on Facebook, Dale, that they blocked the sidewalk in front of Planned Parenthood, not Planned Parenthood, but that other abortion place downtown Milwaukee. The police blocked and cordoned off the sidewalk. They blocked the sidewalk. That Christians had a permit to be there. First of all, you don't need a permit to be on the sidewalk. But they blocked the sidewalk. They changed the rules. They moved the things. They took the Christians and forced them away from in front of the clinic. Dale, am I getting that right? Is that yes, what happened?
Yes, sir. I was not there because I'm downtown display. But I saw the same video did it, and I scratched my head. I'm like... Since when do these people are allowed to just block sidewalks whenever they feel they want to, especially when we did have a permit to be there?
So it did happen. I watched a video, and I was being about as non-judgmental as I could possibly be, because I've been in that situation hundreds of times. Well, maybe not hundreds, but many, many times that situation where the police overstepped their bounds. Where, Dale, I might be wrong, but I bet there were 100, 150 Christians outside of that abortion clinic, and there were about 50 demon-infested pro-aborts, maybe 20, demon-infested pro-aborts. The police, again, protect the folks, the police protect evil. Let there be no mistake about it. The police protect the evil, and the 150 Christians or whatever were there. My wife asked me this, Dale. Maybe you can help me. It's not a criticism, please, not a criticism. Why didn't the Christians just sit down and refuse to move?
Well, brother, that's a line of obedience that we're going to have to come in reality and face. Quit drawing the line in the sand in front of us, and we have to draw it behind us and say we're not backing up.
Yeah, would you agree with me that action by the police was evil?
Oh, it was absolutely wicked and wrong. And where was the sergeants, and where was, so you know that there's the high places of evil within the police force, because that order, whatever they did, that police could do that at that time because he feels he's a justice, mm-hmm. should be overridden by his supervisor, and they should have came down and said, you can't do this.
Wait a minute, Dale, look, I'm looking at it from a spectator standpoint, and I'm not being critical. I'm simply asking a question. Why didn't somebody say, we're not leaving, and sit down and let all the paddy wagons come?
Couldn't answer that question.
I can't either. And I'm not being critical. My wife said that to me. Why didn't they just sit down? Why did we comply with an unrighteous decree? want to talk about a little bit more about Phil Sendale.
I'm sorry, Coach. Not only that, but I mean, listen, I can't answer that question. I wasn't there. It was uptown. But, you know, not only that, we actually did the legal things by filing and getting permits to be there. So in other words, we did the things we were supposed to do that would allow us to be there. And then, you know, and then it's kind of like the Charlie Brown moment with Lucy pulling the football out from underneath Charlie Brown. You know, eventually Charlie Brown, he needs to kick Lucy in the head.
You know what it shows, Dale? And I'm just sorry. Listen, please, I am not being critical. I'm observing. I've been there. I've done that. I've experienced that. They always know the Christians will fold. The Christians always fold.
Well, Coach, I think you know and I know the history of this is that this goes back to this. If you sit down and listen, don't give me, if you sit down, you know, there used to be a time when you could sit down. It was a simple misdemeanor. You sit down now and that's a face charge. And so that's a felony charge for an individual. And, you know, there used to be thousands of people out there during the times of the rallies and the rescues, thousands of people. And once they slapped that face thing in there, brother, we dwindled down to 300 to 400 people literally overnight.
So then, Dale, we don't believe it's murder. We don't believe it's murder. Listen, I'm not being critical. My butt was
there. Coach, every city. Oh, it doesn't. Every city, every state, every single one of them. I agree.
Let me invite somebody else in here. I'm not sure. Hey, Dale, listen, please. If anybody at OSA is, well, I'm not being.
You'd be right there with me.
I'm talking about our movement in general. We comply. We lose because we always comply. Christians comply. But they didn't in the Old Testament. They didn't in the book of Acts. They didn't comply.
You didn't in Terry Schiavo.
I didn't in Terry Schiavo.
I didn't in front of Target.
Why do we comply?
I think it's a question of support of each other. It just takes one to start it when you have a large group like that, and others will support them. But Christians are not trained. Christians are not trained to support and help each other. They're trained to you do what's best for our little congregation, and that's what we focus on.
That's not true with us with Operation Save America. You know, and I know, Coach. There's people in that organization that have been arrested.
Amen.
Some 10, 15, 20 times. So they're faithful. They've laid on the barbed wire.
That's what I'm saying, man. I know those folks. I'm not being critical. I'm asking, why did they not just sit down? Dale, I'm asking myself, all right? I'm asking it for myself. If I'd have been there, would I just have sat down? Do I believe that they're killing babies enough to go to jail? Do I? Do I believe they're killing babies enough to spend months in jail? Do I? I don't know. I wish I had the answer. But we had, it looked to me like, Dale, you had 150 people there, some demon-filled pro-aborts, and a handful of cops, and we complied. Does Antifa comply? Does Black Lives Matter comply? See, our greatest hindrance is our morality. It's our greatest hindrance. But see, we're confused. We're confused because we think complying with evil edicts is moral. Folks, that is not moral. Somebody help me. I feel like I'm out on a limb all by myself. Bring up Romans 13. By the way, Dale, go ahead and fill us in how it's going, because I know you're doing great work there.
Well, brother, all I can speak of is from my God's eye purview, you know, my little perspective of where I'm at. I'm downtown. And, you know, we had a little different scenario when it came to the police. Actually, we did have some pro-aborts show up down there. And they weren't there but 20 minutes. The saw. And they kept just walking from corner to corner, not obeying the traffic laws or whatever. And he pretty much shut them down. And then they left. They weren't there 15, 20 minutes. There was only four or five of them there. But brother, we handed out and got to minister to over 1,500 tracts just yesterday, literature. And brother, I had a lady come up to me when we were setting up and told me, she goes, I just want to let you know that I was going to abort my baby. But when you guys were here with the science and that obviously the locals, she goes, I didn't do it. And she showed me the picture of her five children. So when people say it doesn't make a difference, this lady comes up and gives me this scenario and shows me the pictures. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. What we do are making a difference.
So Dale, what's the mood there in Milwaukee? Milwaukee's probably pretty liberal, I think. Is the average citizen, what do you think the average citizen is feeling, Dale, in regards to abortion? What does the average person walking the streets in Milwaukee think?
I think it's pretty much across the board. And I don't care if it's in the Bible Belt or not. It's not my business. They walk on by. It's crazy because they try to like not look at you, like got horse blinders on, you know, right. You're trying to get literature and just talk with them. It's not like we're railing and screaming in their ear. We're trying to engage them in conversation. Brother, they just, that's what they do. They walk on by as if nothing happens. You know, this is not my deal.
Would you call that the parable of the Good Samaritan? Isn't that really what it is, Dale? The same thing. They see that little baby bundled up and bleeding in the ditch, and they crossed all the river on the other side. Pretty much the same, isn't it?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Now, here, Coach, listen. This thing just dropped me. Ante brought this forward the other night. He said, you know, we're praying that the Lord will do this for us. We're praying that the Lord will heal us. We have all these prayers that we're offering up to the Lord, but when you go into Genesis and it says when Cain slew Abel, Abel's innocent blood cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard that. And he said, listen, your brother's innocent blood is crying out. And he said, I put this scenario before you. Just in America, 65 million surgical abortions, innocent babies. He says, whose prayers do you think God is truly listening to? And whose prayers do you think that God truly desires to respond to? And how does he respond? Our prayers pretty much of selfishness, or these babies' prayers crying out for what? Justice.
Oh, my goodness. Jared, I'm going to switch gears on you. Get Isaiah 59.
Hey, folks.
Yes. Good, Gary.
Coach.
You have to start again, buddy. You're breaking up. You got to start again. We don't hear you. Jared, Isaiah 59, could you pull that up there real closely? That's a great question to ask. Can somebody else try to come in and see if it's on our end or your end? Somebody. Oh, it's Jack. Okay, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. I know whatever you got to say is important. I'm sorry. Stay with me here. Stay with me. I'm in Isaiah. Dale just brought up a really good point. Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. By the way, as I was preparing today's show, I came to realize that really, that's all the American church is about is salvation. That's all they're about. They're not concerned with being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. They train us to be the salt of the earth and light of the world in our personal lives, maybe. But they don't tell us that we're supposed to impact the world, that we're to go into all the world. We're supposed to do that. The church is supposed to do that. And we don't do it. We just teach salvation. Just get people saved. If we can just get them saved. I know a lot of people who are saved who don't even know they are. And I know a lot of people who aren't saved who think they are. What does that mean, get people saved? What does that even mean? Get them saved. Let's just get them saved. I know a lot of people who are saved who support homosexuality. Though the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, Lord's hand can still save. Neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Lord can still hear and he can still save. But your sins, iniquities, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, so Dale just made the point there about the blood of Abel crying out for vengeance, crying out to God, and the innocent blood crying out 60 million plus, 70 million, we don't even know how many, crying out, which voice is the Lord hearing? The church thinks the Lord's hearing our voice. Is there any evidence or any reason why he would hear our voice? When he tells us right here that your sins have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Why? For your hands are defiled with blood.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Is that verse one? I mean, obviously in the Catholic faith, they're into confession. Confession, confession, confession. As a practicing Christian myself, you're, you know, 59, it's calling me to repent daily of my sin, regularly, or the communication doesn't take place. Is that how I should read that?
I think, first of all, the whole idea of confession goes back to what we talked about the other day, the spirit of the Nicolaitans.
Yeah, well, I don't mean confession to a priest is proper, but I'm reading this, if I'm reading it correctly, because it's not taught in the church, as I am in sin, my ability to speak and for God to listen to me is blocked.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would agree with that, Roger.
So we as believers need to daily come to the cross so that that communication, that listening, that praying, seeking God is open.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's like, to me, repentance is like oil in your car. You've got to change it out. Because if you don't change it out, that engine's going to get destroyed. And that's the same thing with our faith. If we don't have a repentant heart, not just one time, but constantly, then our faith is going to burn out. It's going to go away. And that's the way I look at it.
Our reconciliation, right? Bringing us back, yeah. Reconnecting those wires. Reconciliation is reconnecting those wires so that the Lord can hear us. I can't get away from this thought, which I just got to say. If there, those our brothers and sisters, our dear brothers and sisters who traveled from all over America to be at the abortion clinic yesterday. At that abortion clinic where they are killing babies inside that building. They're killing babies. Get the picture. Babies are being killed inside the building. Christians on the outside preaching, reading the word, singing hymns. I'm not making fun of any of it. Okay, I've been part of it. I get it. I get it. I get it. But as a guy who's sitting here in Hebron, Ohio, and I'm looking at it on film, watching it happen, and I'm reading this scripture right here. Is the Lord, while those babies are dying inside that building, is the Lord even hearing us on the outside? Is he even hearing us?
Coach, remember John 9:31. It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners.
Yeah.
It just backs up Isaiah. If your Bible doesn't have a reference between Isaiah 59:2 to John 9:31, you need to put that reference in there.
So, amen, Larry. So here's what I'm thinking. Is the Lord, is his fingers in his ear? Get this picture now. And I'm not being critical. I'm painting a picture. I'm analyzing the game films. I'm not criticizing. God bless all those people who went from all across America to be at Milwaukee, Wisconsin. God bless them. God bless them. I honor them. I'm not critical of them. God bless them. They are murdering babies inside the building, and we won't sit down on the outside.
David's still sleeping.
Just something about that. As to which voice is the Lord hearing? Is the Lord hearing the cry of those innocent children, or the 150 Christians out there playing music and reading the scripture and arguing with it. I've done it. I'm not being critical. For the life of me. Why would we have moved yesterday? Yes.
What would Jesus do if he was on the street with us?
He wouldn't have paid, he wouldn't have paid attention to the cop, I can tell you that. That for sure I can tell you. He wouldn't have listened to the cop. But we are why? Because verse 4, nobody calls for justice. Nor any pleadeth for truth.
But Coach, if I may drop a bigger dilemma, something to really let settle in our spirit. In that question is, whose prayer is he hearing? The bigger, the more thing that should grip fear in the heart of every believer is, what is their prayer? It's for justice. And then the Lord responds with justice. How will that look?
For Dale, what if we stand before him and said, Lord, why did you let all that injustice go? And he said, well, I sent you. I sent you. And think of the picture. I'm just, listen, Dale, please understand I'm not being critical. I'm just seeing the picture of 150 people bowing and walking away.
Yeah, you know that. I mean, and I know you're talking to a lot of people who might not have the, you know, the people that are out there, probably 70, my GPS, probably 70 of them, including myself. And we're talking Cal's Astros and the, you know, out there, Matt Trevillas. We're talking people who have been arrested.
I get it, man.
Dozens of times, and they have no problem. And that's what Cal even called the other night. He says, it's coming. It's coming. The point of interposition is coming. And I believe it's right. I believe that one moment, that one spark where somebody's going to go, and brother, it's going to break like a dam.
Well, and Dave, we've got to remember also, we're in America. In the world, keep in mind, the Bible speaks to the world. They are being arrested. They are standing up and being arrested. It's just in America that the church is not standing up and challenging some of these things.
So
you go across the world, it's happening everywhere where the believer is standing up. The question then is, how weak is the American church?
Amen.
Yeah. If you continue the thought, Coach, what if somebody sat down? So all of you in the queue, picture this. We're on site, and we're in front of a clinic in a Columbus again or somewhere. What if somebody sits down? Are you going to sit with them? You know, because that's going to happen. Somebody's going to be bold in our group, and then it's up to us individually to be bold with them. Do we even have the bravery to stand beside one of our brothers until they get arrested? So this is practical knowledge. This is coaching, you know, yes. And we need to be prepared for that. Right, Coach?
We do.
Coach.
If I'd have been there, I probably wouldn't have sat down either. I probably wouldn't. But as I look at it from afar, I'm asking, what do you want? Folks, listen, Antifa would have sat down. Black Lives Matter would have sat down. Wall Street or whatever, they would have sat down. Why would, can you pull back with me? Can you pull back and look, sit high and look low? And the Lord looks down, sees his people pull back against an ungodly edict where they're murdering babies inside, and they simply obey the law, which isn't the law. No wonder the other side doesn't respect us. They fight to the death. We fight to
Amen.
The
Amen. Amen, Coach.
Hey, Coach. This is Gary.
Yes, sir.
I'm just thinking, look at all the sit-ins and the and all these other, you could say, proactive demonstrations that took place during the Vietnam era, the Civil Rights era, and look what they accomplished.
Yeah, but you know what, Gary? Here's the difference, bud. When they made it a felony, we didn't want to lose our stuff. When the courts made it a felony, we decided we didn't want to lose our stuff. And we know right now that President Trump or whoever was responsible for it has pulled back $60 million from Planned Parenthood. They are on the ropes. And Mark, we ought to be storming the gate. We ought to be sitting in front of every Planned Parenthood. Now is the time we ought to be upping the ante. See, anybody out there ever play poker?
Amen.
I played poker. I played poker and I learned this. I learned when I was playing poker to watch the other guy, and I knew whether he was winning or he was losing. I was able to look out on his pot, on his table, right in front of him, how many coins he had left. I was able to see that. And I knew that if I had a whole bunch of stuff, if I was on a hot streak, I knew that if I upped the ante, if I raised, he was going to think long and hard about it, because if he lost, he's out of the game. Planned Parenthood's losing a lot of chips. And we don't have the courage or the wisdom to up the ante. We don't have the courage to raise the bet. The momentum is totally and completely going our direction for the first time in my lifetime. And I think we missed an opportunity yesterday in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to let them arrest 400 people. Let them do it. Let them arrest them. But again, hey, Dale, I'm not being critical. I'm a guy who's off in the distance looking into what I saw happen. And I'm telling you right now, had I been there, I probably wouldn't have sat down either. But we should. We should. Somebody come in. I know I'm right.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, doing the Drag Queen Story Hour there in Sparks, Nevada. I tried to call up some local churches regarding the situation. And my point is, when I talked to the first Southern Baptist Church there in Sparks, I asked them about, did you know this is happening in Mentor Story Hour? And the person on the phone said, I'm not interested, and click.
So Jeff, do me a favor, stop calling them. Stop calling them. Frustration level's just going to go high. Guys and girls, we're not all in. I'm looking at me. I'm looking at this big camera, big screen up here that Vic gave me. I'm looking at me right now. I'm not all in. I talk a good game, but I'm not all in.
Well, Coach, look at Timalchus in 300, think 360 AD. When the Roman gladiators were fighting and the emperor was there and he comes into the upper part of the Colosseum and never seen anything, such a thing. And these guys tell the king that they would fight unto death, and they begin to kill each other. And he's yelling from the top. He's yelling from the top for them to stop. And that's what we've been from the top yelling, but they couldn't hear him over the cheers of the people. And he ran down into the Colosseum. And he told them, stop in Christ's name, stop. And the emperor ordered for that man to be killed. And they killed him. And that day, the killing in the Colosseum ended, because the emperor, when he came out, he said, there will be no more killing in the Colosseum.
Mm.
It's going to cost somebody their life.
I just don't want it to be me, Dale. I mean, I hope somebody has the courage.
I agree, brother. Man, I wrestle with that. I wrestle with that when I do this, when I'm out at a clinic. I wrestle with the fact of knowing what's going inside, whether it's self-preservation or taking care of my family. You know, I'm guilty too.
We all are. I'm talking to me. I'm not talking to those brave people that are at least up there. I'm not being critical of them at all. I'm talking to me.
We don't have the confidence in our association. We don't have the confidence to say, I'm going to go all in, because I know that Coach or Dale or John will take my daughter and raise mm-hmm. her.
Amen.
Well, you know, what I said a while ago wasn't leveled okay. or aimed at anybody individually whatsoever, but it was aimed at the environment of what is called a church in our country. Our churches do not teach the members of the body of the Christ that are happen to be in there. They don't teach them the importance of supporting, working, helping with each other. That is not a focus at all in our churches. Our churches are focused on get rich, on be happy, on best life now. That was my point. It wasn't trying to cast aspersions on anybody that's up here in Milwaukee. Our churches, the things we call churches, are failing because they are not churches.
Hey, Larry, hold on, Victor. Here's another great question. I agree with you 100%, Larry. No intent. I know exactly your heart is with us and prayers we covet. But here's even a simpler question. When's the last time somebody has approached you in a mall or a gas station to tell you about Jesus? Where's the church? You see what I'm saying? They won't even approach you in a store to tell you about
Jesus.
You're
a freak if you do that. If you're talking Jesus or wearing a Jesus hat, you got religion. You're a freak. Proverbs 24:10, Rich just sent this to me. Rich Wall, Indiana, just sent me Proverbs 24:10. I'll get that up there for me, Jared. Jared, I wish my sheet were right at the top.
Hey, you know, Coach.
Yes.
You know, something else, and there was whoever it was that brought it up a second ago, made an excellent point about Christians not standing with one another. For example, somebody's going to take care of another family, you know, your family member if you get locked up and whatnot. But I can't help but think about, you know, we're so close right now. And I'm thinking about when Moses sent the 12 spies into the Promised Land, and Joshua and Caleb came back saying, the land is flowing with milk and honey. We can certainly do it because we have the Lord on our side, and of course all the others were naysayers. And, where is that confidence, the confidence in the Lord that we can certainly do this because we are doing God's work here?
Well, Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Watch this. If you forbear or refuse, if you refuse to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we didn't know that. We didn't know that was going on. What are you doing outside the clinic? You know something's going on in there, don't you? If you say, we didn't know it, Lord, does not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, does not he know? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? This sounds so awful because it's not criticism. I'm trying to show you a picture. If I were to write a story, 400 Christians refuse to sit down to rescue children. That's a story. Yes or no?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
What would tie in with this perfectly, and I wish we could do it, is to capture Ronald Brock's testimony. This is a man who was locked up countless times before FACE. He was the first one arrested when the federal law got enacted under FACE. Multiple broken bones sitting there protecting the babies. He sacrificed his own body sitting. And he was the one who got it created, the FACE thing created. So I think the part that we need to do is, how do we bridge forward? What was going through Ron Brock's head when he decided that it's okay to be arrested? You know, we need to know that. We need to know what risks. We need to be bold. And I've noticed every time we go, people are getting more bold. They're getting trained, you know?
That's right. We can't be, listen, risks are part of it. I'm having a family gathering down here now. Macy stayed, Reese showed up, David's over here in the corner. Everybody say hi. 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 Dave, get in there and say hi real quick.
Glory, look at them arrows.
Oh, look at that. Dave, say hi to everybody there. Hi, folks. Hi, folks. Oh, this is why I fight.
Coach, can I follow up on what Mark just said?
Yes, please do.
Okay. What Mark was just saying was we need to be trained. We're getting trained. But right now, this analogy might help us to understand why we don't have better success. We have men, good men. We have the Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts, God and Country. We're sending them into battle. But we're going to battle against mercenaries. Mercenaries.
The best men I know are in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I'm not being critical of any of them. They are the cream of the cream. Go ahead, Jack.
But they're going against mercenaries, mercenaries that have no conscience. When you get good men that go against mercenaries, if you're not trained, if you don't have the courage, if you haven't peed on the cop's foot that's arresting you, we're not going to win.
Amen. We have.
Okay, we're going against mercenaries.
You guys going on upstairs now. Thanks for coming down. That's right, Jack. That's what I'm saying here. See, that's what I'm saying. We are not willing to push the envelope. I'm talking to me, okay? I'm not willing to push the limit.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. It's a natural thing for self-preservation, and that's what we need to do. The other side, like a Pumpernickel or a CAC, Colin, whatever his name is, that guy in him trying to take a knee, not all of them do it. For them, they have to have the courage to go against what's natural. For us, it's the same thing. It's natural for self-preservation. We have to be bold. And you know, I mean, bold might cost you some time in jail, might cost you some money. But see, that's the whole point. You're making a stand like Ron, like John Brokaw. I mean, these men, they paid the price. This is what we got to do.
Vic, here's part of the problem. Pick anybody, pick me, anybody. If I go to jail, who's taking care of my family?
Well, Coach, look right there in that Proverbs 24 you just read. Look where it says there in number 4, Proverbs 24, 4 and 5.
And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious. 24, 4?
24, 5.
A wise man is strong, yet a man of knowledge increases strength. Here's the point I was making. This is the battle we all fight, right? Will my family be taken care of? If I have a responsibility to my family. I have a responsibility to my wife, my grandchildren. If I go lay down my life, who's going to take care of them? Are you guys?
Coach, that's what happened at the Mother's Day rescue with us. You know, we went in there and we had a night meeting before, and Rusty asked who's willing to sit with me. And then, you know, I stood up and I went. Gosh, it grips me. Because he looked at me and said, Dale, you can't sit. I need you to take care of my family.
Yeah.
Hey, isn't it the bottom line of Christian instruction to take care of the orphans and widows? If we create orphans and widows by our actions to stand up for what's right for Christ, isn't the rest of the church commanded to take care of our families? That's not taught in our churches either.
But do we?
And I use the word churches mistakenly. That's not taught in our satanic social clubs.
Amen. Amen, Larry.
Hey, Coach, I got a question here.
Okay.
And of course, I know right now, the conversation is about taking care of families, who's going to fill the role of the breadwinner of the family. If someone does get arrested, thrown in prison, or killed, taking a stand, for the Lord, whether it's about abortion or any other matter for that. But I do have another question, and that is, even though I know that the first inclination is towards material, taking care of families, making sure that they're provided for, so they have food, shelter, whatnot. But how about the emotional? Yeah, how about the emotional support? The loss of the emotional support of that family member who's been imprisoned.
Yeah, well, greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friend. That's all I know.
Thank you.
If we look for reasons why, if you were looking for reasons why you shouldn't act, you'll find them everywhere. You'll find them everywhere. Yeah, Jeff. Is that all right, Jeff? Well, don't go ahead, Jeff. I thought he was trying to get in. Jared, go to Romans 13. See, folks, we're in a cultural war. Now, there's two things I want you to stop and think about here. Culture and war. Are Christians at war? Are Christians at war? Wait a minute. Are pro-aborts at war? Are homosexuals at war?
No, we're not.
Are atheists at war? Are the deep state at war? Are materialists at war? Are new world orderers at war? Are the one world government folks at war? Are atheistic scientists at war? This ain't a cultural war. It's a one-sided cultural war. And we've retreated inside our stained glass fortresses, and we have not engaged in the war. Oh, we send some money to focus on the family and the Family Research Council. We're really not. I'll tell you this. The greatest donations that ever come into Pass the Salt is when we're doing mercy ministry. People want to give money to mercy ministry. But if I say I'm going to go end abortion, I'm going to go fight homosexuality. I'm going to go build some houses. Oh, I'm in. Yeah, I'll help. And so we're losing the cultural war because we're not engaged in the cultural war. We don't want to be engaged in the cultural war. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why? Because war costs you something, boys and girls. And here's the sad part. What you are trying to protect, you are losing. What you are trying to protect by hiding inside your stained glass fortress and in your prayer closet, what you are trying to protect, you are losing, because the other side is at war for everything you are trying to hang on to. And they are going to pass laws, and they're going to pass rules, and they're going to come, and they're going to steal your very heritage from you, which, by the way, was right at my knee here not 5 minutes ago. That is what they're after. And we get caught up in the best life now, junk, and going to church, and it's all about me, it's all about me, and I don't want to get involved in this, and I don't want to get involved in that. And if I got arrested, my goodness, if I got arrested out in front of an abortion clinic, the church would be the first one to criticize me. We're in a one-way war. We're getting our asses handed to us. Asses in the Bible. We're getting our butts handed to us. We comply. Rules for radicals. Make them live by their own rules. Make them live by their own rules. The left has no rules. How do you win a war with your two sets of rules? It's a cultural war. Is our government moral? Is the American government moral? Well, no, it isn't. Why don't we do something about it? Well, that might cost me something. Hey, I'm just going to pray about it, Coach. I'm going to let the Lord take care of it. I'm just going to pray about it. Yeah, Mark.
Our model, our model has been the disciples, and we ask this question: are you willing to take a bullet for your brother? A lot of people is more willing to say they're willing to take a bullet for their brother than maybe to sit down in front of a clinic, right? And our path are the disciples, and our destination. I told a lot of people this during Chappaqua event: is our destination is sacrifice. Every one of the disciples lost their lives.
Amen.
And that's our path. So if we believe that, what are we doing along that path, or are we avoiding sacrifice? Mm. You know, so I've been coming to terms with this. I really have. And I got a family and I don't have income and all these other crazy things, but God's got me right here, right now, to look at these things right now. And I think we all need to do that. Are we willing to look beside us at our brother and sit with him? You know, are we willing to do that? And that's, we got to be serious. We can't be faking this, these answers.
No, that's right.
We got to search our hearts, get our lives right, get our wives right, get our children right, and be willing to do these things. That's the answer. That is the answer. We got to be willing to do these things for the babies, for the cause, for Jesus. So yeah. we got to continue to dig deep and be bold somehow, some way.
Well, let me ask right? this. Is sitting yep. down in front of the clinic, is that enough? Are we doing something? Sitting down, or, is that enough?
Just or whatever, down. Right? Whatever that action is, yep.
But see, the whole point is that it's the first step. If you don't ever take the first step, the journey's never going to start. Jesus Christ asked everybody to drop what you're doing, follow me. Carry your cross. He invited all of us. And unfortunately, many of us have not taken the invite.
So Vic, don't miss this. See, sitting down, just going and planning a sit-in, that's one thing. Yesterday, outside that clinic, that was a missed opportunity. See, that was a missed opportunity. It's different than planning a sit-in. That was a spontaneous missed opportunity. I'm in Romans 13. I'm going to show you why. Folks, shake your head. Shake your head. Do this right now. Shake your head and get everything out of your head that your pastors told you. Get this out of your head. See, people don't want to take on the government because it's safe. That's why. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Not, by the way, not elected of God. Not elected of God. See, God created the office of sheriff. He didn't necessarily put that sheriff in. God created House of Representatives. I'm sorry, man created government, the House of Representatives, but he didn't select to put every one of those people in. You with me? Stay with me. So the powers, the structures ordained to God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Did you ever dawn on you to think that those God haters in government are resisting the power of God? We're not resisting it. They are. And that they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. God says, thou shall not murder. And our elected officials resist God and say, yes, we will. We'll call an abortion. We're not resisting the powers if we fight against that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. So I'm outside the clinic. And the cop tells me, you're not allowed to be here. Is he doing good works or bad works? And if I follow his order, am I following good works or evil? Were those police officers a terror to the good works, trying to save lives? Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praises of the same. See, the problem is because Christians have pulled back from the cultural war we have in those those offices, those powers that are ordained by God. We have men sitting in those offices who resist the ordinances of God. And they're forcing us to live under ungodly edicts and laws and statutes. And we don't do a daggone thing about it. That's what Romans 13 is teaching you. There should not be ungodly men in office. Hey, listen to me. There should be, I hope this goes, hey, Kyle, I hope you get this. There should be no Muslims in office in America. No Muslims in office in America. That's the way that it was set up. Multiculturalism is cultural AIDS. And if you noticed, if you can't open your eyes, I saw Christians criticizing what Donald Trump said to those girls yesterday. You don't like the country, leave it. I saw Christians, again, evangelifish Christians, talk about how harsh Donald Trump was when in fact he was merely pushing back against evil. Not very Christ-like, is it, to push back against evil? I got to get my blood pressure down, or I'll have to call my cardiologist.
Amen, Coach.
For he is the minister. Who is? A man in a police uniform, Chad, is a minister of God to me for good. That's what he is. But if you do that which is evil, dude, he's talking to the police officer. If you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Abortion is evil. The police officer's job is to execute wrath upon that evil. Not love him. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, you're right on. You're right on that.
I know.
Amen. We should not back down, Coach. Knowing this, if we go on and be the same, we're as weak as the people we're talking about, Coach.
Right. We got Christ inside of us, and we're weaker than the world.
Coach, if I'm not willing to do what's right out here on my job and stand against evil and go be thrown in jail, I don't have enough faith to believe that anybody would take care of my family. I don't have enough faith to believe God would take care of my family, whatever. I love this life too much. I love it more than I love God. That's the challenge right there.
That is, brother.
Render
therefore to all their dues. Folks, I want to ask you this. Does our unrighteous, ungodly, deep state government deserve your financial support? For this cause, pay tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Yes, if they were, if Christians were operating in those offices, then government is good. Render therefore to all their dues. He's talking about God's ministers. Render therefore to God's ministers. Barack Obama wasn't God's minister. Barack Obama was God's judgment on America. He wasn't a minister. Oh, I could go on and on. I'm about out of time.
Keep it simple is my shtick. James 4:17. If you know to do good and you don't do it, you're sinning.
Amen. So here's where I was going. I never got there. I'm going to finish up with this. In fact, this is really where I wanted to start. I'm going to tell you this and go make everybody out there as mad as I possibly can. I believe the Russian government is evil. I believe the German government is evil. I believe the American government is evil, not as it was set up, but as it's currently operating. I believe the Venezuelan government is evil. I believe the Chilean government is evil. I believe the Italian government is evil. I believe the Canadian government is evil. And I'll tell you something else. I believe the Israeli government is evil. You cannot be righteous if you do not serve Christ. And if the men in positions of authority are not serving Christ, they are not righteous, and the government cannot be righteous. That's why the Lord said to us, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.